I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
You're listening to Achtung Mobile, broadcasting from the beautiful South Bermondsey. Accept no substitute.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to an impromptu edition of Achtung Mobile. Joining me to discuss the everlasting soap opera that is modern day football is the Dockers Debate star. We were just talking about the podcast off air. It's Michael Avery. How are you doing, Michael?
Good afternoon and happy lunchtime, Mr. Hart. Yes, the Dockers Debate, yeah. Which working now has had home. Over. Yeah, it's lunch. It's lunch if anyone from work hears this. But it's a podcast which we started off as a bit of fun has now turned into we've had over 17,000 downloads. So I'm not
too
shabby.
See, it's very good. I'd give anyone the advice to have a listen to it anytime you like. It's great stuff. It really captures the essence of a non-league club that's trying to make its way in the world. And it kind of links in with the purpose of this impromptu conversation this afternoon, because that also links in very much with the support or lack of support that modern day football dishes out to the real grassroots of the game. You know, the clubs like Erith Town, Erith and Belvedere, which, you know, Welling and all these kind of clubs exist in a kind of a at the bottom of the pile. And, you know, as with every bottom of every pile, the shit comes down on top of you. And we're speaking, listeners, of course, in the wake of this afternoon or this morning's actually decision by the FA and Premier League to drive for a massive change to the oldest football competition in the world, the FA Cup, and basically it's abolishing the concept of replays in the competition, Michael, from next season, from round one onwards. Interestingly, not in the qualifying rounds, but we'll come back to that if we may. But yeah, so from next season there'll be no more replays. I've dug out two football matches for you, Michael, just to illustrate what's been thrown away there. One was played on the 6th of January, 1872. It's a 3:15 kickoff on Barnes Common. That's Barnes 0, the Hampstead Heathens 1. Leach scored that goal. I didn't see it, listeners. I wasn't around for that one. 1872, and then we leap forwards by, what's it, 150 years to, 7th of Feb, 8 o'clock kickoff. Aston Villa 1, Chelsea 3. Gallagher, Jackson, Fernandez. That was the first ever replayed game in the FA Cup, 1872, and then what will probably be the final one now, because the concept which has already been done away with in the fifth round has been done away with completely in the competition from round one onwards. A lot of hoo-ha online about this, Michael. I'm actually struck by the impact it's had on clubs that are so-called smaller outfits. I mean, we've seen some really well-drafted statements from the likes of Tranmere, Grimsby, I've seen, Accrington, I believe. But a lot of bold statements from clubs that have, know what it's like to look down the barrel of football. And as we're so much in the game now, it's all geared around the top six. There's Jurgen Klopp and Pep Guardiola. Maybe we should rename it the Jurgen Klopp Guardiola Football Association.
Yeah, a bit closer to home, you're saying about replays. Let's think about that highlight video just played 2 minutes before kickoff at the Den. That has Mark Kennedy scoring against Arsenal in a Millwall replay.
Replay, yeah.
And then the round after that, Millwall famously went to Chelsea and won on a penalty shootout.
Yeah.
So, you know, for those who say, Like, there might be some Millwall fans who say, you know, oh, whatever, or whatever it is, you know, with the FA Cup, let's get rid of them. Like I say, two of the most fondest moments in my lifetime, certainly, was those two FA Cup replays. And they were just replays, you know, what, fourth and fifth round? You know, they weren't later on in competitions. And yes, they didn't result in any silverware. No. But, you know, as a Millwall fan in the mid-90s, you know, let's be honest, Millwall isn't a fashionable football club. But those were the days that you could walk into primary schools in Bermondsey like I did when I was, what, 8, 9, 10 years old and say, you know what, we've beaten you. And that's what FA Cup replays are all about. And I just think the whole thing, whether your opinion is... You only don't like replays or the FA Cup if you're struggling in leagues. So, like, you know, we've had it a few times where our attendances go down and everything like that. But fundamentally, 80, 90% of the time, small clubs or even lower league clubs, or let's not beat around the bush, Nick. Like, even teams like Millwall in the Championship, if we was to get Man United, for example, at home, Arsenal at home, there's a bit you're thinking, well, you know, we've got Arsenal at home here. If we nick a 0-0 here, we could go to the Emirates. You know, like Millwall at the Emirates, you know, like, and we're a Championship team who up until recently was pushing for the playoffs. So it's not just the little clubs.
It's interesting. I'm just looking at the initial statement. It was on the FA's website. Listen, you can have a look on it. It's still on there. FA and Premier League agree. I'm putting some inverted commas on that. Clearly being driven by the Premier League, which is the almighty God at which we all have to worship now. The Premier League agreed to strengthen the Emirates FA Cup and support for grassroots. I think they're hanging this on strengthening the competition with a few fiddling around changes to when the midweek fifth round is now going to be back on the weekend again, which it should always have been in the first place. But what strikes me with this statement, Michael, is it's all hung on the idea there's going to be some more money, £33 million for grassroots football on top of the £100 million it currently gives. So £133 million from the FA for grassroots football. However, that dissolves down to the local clubs. But that, to me, and I don't know if I'm being overly romantic, you do tell me, listeners, what you think. But it's about the glory days. You've just touched on a couple of glory days. I don't know how much money we got out of that trip to Arsenal in 1994 and, the Chelsea escapades and many other games over the course of my football life. But it's, for us and for other clubs at our level, it's money, of course. We all live in the real world. But it's about the standout moments you never forget for the rest of your life. There's a cliche that we're run by people that know the price of everything, the value of nothing. And I think this is precisely an example of that, Michael, because it's talking of 33 million here and 100 million there. Great, you know, all in favour of that. But it's not really about that. It's about those Cray Valley paper mills going to Charlton and pulling off a 1-1 draw and having Charlton back at their ground off of, off the Yorkshire Grey roundabout. That's what it's all about, in my opinion. But you can't put that in the bank, I suppose, can you?
No, of course you're right. And also as well, that's not miss about as well, because I sent a tweet over into our group chat before we recorded, when it was like more money for this and more money for that and TV games this and we're going to show more games. And it's like, well, how many times has the schedule for the FA Cup come out and it will be like, today's game will be Bournemouth versus Wolves, and you've got sort of like no, but you have though, Nick, haven't you? And then you've got Forest Rovers. You'd have Forest Green Rovers at home against Leicester, and you'd think, I personally, as a neutral, would rather watch the Forest Green Rovers versus Leicester game on TV than Bournemouth versus Wolves. So even though they're saying they're televising more games, as I said, half tongue in cheek and half sort of cynically, those games on TV will probably be the Premier League clashes, because they're going, but more people around the world support Wolves and Bournemouth City. So it is. I'd like to say it's clever wording, but I think now we've got to a stage in society and in life where people are just looking at statements now and just seeing between the cracks and seeing between the lies. And again, let's not beat around the bush. You've got these big teams at the top who they, quite frankly, they don't want to be in it. You know, like that. It's very similar to the league. It's very similar to the League Cup in the sense that during the early rounds of the League Cup, you get one man and his dog going to watch games. But when you get to the final, there's 80,000 people there. Klopp doesn't want to be in third round replays. Guardiola doesn't want to be in fourth round replays. But I saw an excellent point as well online. If you don't want to be in replays against teams down the bottom of the pyramid, beat them in the first leg. You've got a responsibility to stop these replays not happening. And let's be honest, if Manchester City come up against the Shrewsbury Town, their reserve should be good enough to beat them, with all due respect to Shrewsbury Town.
I'm always quite sad when go look at yourself in this life. I mean, Millwall often has half the ground shut for the third round of the FA Cup. But this is a consequence, Michael, of a... when did Manchester United not take part? 1999, I think they went to the World Club Championship.
They speech marks had to, didn't they?
They was special dispensation not to take part in that season's FA Cup. And really, I think you can trace the erosion of its importance and standing, all of the intangible things that don't have a price tag attached to them from that point onwards. So it's a 25-year programme of reducing the status and the importance of the FA Cup. And I think it's probably getting towards its logical conclusion now that it's almost a by the way now. I mean, just to give you the full list of changes, listeners, obviously the main one, the headline one, is there's going to be no more replays from the first round onwards. And the first round is where the non-league clubs, Michael, are joined by the League Two and League One clubs. So no more replays in the main competition. Strangely, they will be in, I'm going to guess, they will be in the qualifying rounds, and that makes no sense to me. If you're going to have replays, do away with them completely, because I read a point on Twitter, I can't remember who made it, so forgive me whoever this person was, but where non-league clubs are concerned, they're often working men, so, you know, a midweek replay, a further away actually makes marginal sense for those rounds, because you've got to work and then go on to a football match in the evening, whereas the so-called professionals, it's being made easier on them, but not so much on those that actually have to work for a living. So there's no logic to some of this.
Well, you think about it, with Ear of Tan, just as example, we said about them earlier on, they was in the two preliminary rounds earlier on. They played four games in the FA Cup before they got to qualifiers. If anyone should be calling out for no replays, it should be the teams in the qualifiers and the preliminaries. You know, they had to travel all the way to Hassocks and Burgess Hill and have them back in replay. So the teams they were playing had to go from, you know, sort of like towards the south of England back to Thamesmead for replays. And you sort of think, well, by the time Man City and Liverpool and all those get in there, they've only got, what, four or five games in it? That's it.
Yeah. I mean, the importance of the FA Cup is the classic romantic story that a small-time club breaks through into the third round and draws Liverpool, Manchester United, City, whoever you want, Arsenal, Spurs, Millwall, in the third round, and it's a big day. And it's you can to some extent, I suppose, you can replace money, but you can't replace the glory days, and that's what this is doing. The fourth and fifth round and quarterfinals will be played on the weekends now. So hurrah for that. And there'll be no other EPL, Premier League games on those weekends. So if anyone really cares about that. Cup final weekend will be exclusive of Premier League games. I don't know if they're going to move it back to a 3 o'clock kickoff like it was always traditionally, but we'll see.
Did I see somewhere as well it's going to be on the penultimate day of the season as well? So the tournament finishes before the Premier League finishes.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Because you've got to remember who's really important in this life.
Yeah.
A few crumbs will fall from the Premier League's table to increase funding for the football pyramid, which, as we've mentioned already, this is the grassroots. I don't know how they're going to define that or where that money's going to go. Nothing really provided on this. This seems to be a decision, and there's a lot of hoo-ha online, which I don't propose to get terribly into, between who's taken the decision and who's nodded it through, who had nothing to do with it. From what I can pick up, and this is as best as I can determine it, there is a sub-board of the FA, upon which our own chief exec, Steve Kavanagh, sits, are governing the FA Cup and the professional game. I don't know what wide remit that's got. But anyway, apparently conversations have been happening for some time about this, but no definitive vote or decision involving those boards has happened. This seems to have been driven through by the Premier League and the FA as a done deal. And there we are. Suck it up, I suppose, is the best way I can put it. There it is. From next season, no more replays. I think it's provoked a lot of comment online. Talk of, and I don't think this is practical, to be honest, Michael, talk of boycotting the not from anyone official, but from voices online. I don't think clubs are in a position or able to boycott the FA Cup. I think they're obliged to enter it. I'd be amazed if they could get out of that, to be honest.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And the thing is as well is that it's just a case as well where you kind of feel like you say, you sort of your hands are tied by this, you know, you have to agree to it because it's been pushed through by the FA and all this kind of stuff. But what strikes me as well, Nick, is yes, I know where the clubs are now, but it maybe aside from Man City, because let's be honest, I've been a big mega player in the last few years, not taking anything away from their other history, but Liverpool are a team who are absolutely steeped in cup history. You know, like they're a team, and that they're one of the ones who are the biggest critics for this, like the schedule and all this kind of stuff. So to be part of a group of teams who basically in a league who's asked to get rid of it because they just don't like it, or they don't want their players playing in it, is it sort of slaps in the face of some of the fans who have followed these clubs for so long. And let's not forget as well, you know, like with the Premier League, they already play 8 games less than the Football League. You know, maybe not the ones at the top who are in the Champions League and all this, and I get that, but you know, you've got teams like a Burnley, and you've got like Sheffield United. So yes, they might be going down or this, but Nottingham Forest, Bournemouth, Wolves, they only play 38 league games a season. So what really does a good cup run do for them? Not a lot. You know, it doesn't matter for them actually much. It takes a 38 game season up to 45. Well done, you're only doing what everyone else does in the country at the moment. And it's just, and like we just said it before you hit record as well, the hypocrisy of the whole thing stinks in the sense that this was illegal a little while ago. When the top six wanted to break away, they were up in arms. They were furious. Ooh. Oh, you're taking away the integrity of the Premier League. You're taking away the integrity of English competitions. You're taking away the integrity of the pyramid system.
Mm.
Well, you're now taking away the integrity of the FA Cup.
It's this idea, and it makes me laugh. And I think it was Thomas Frank of Brentford who was talking about replays and the fixture load, you know, for Brentford. You know, talking as though Brentford are some kind of they're on the same table as the Real Madrids and European established aristocracy. You know, it's not that long since the likes of Brentford were playing in front of a couple of thousand people at Griffin Park was falling to pieces. But they, and Crystal Palace, I noticed that, you know, they're now seeing themselves as a cut above. It's amazing how self-interest at the expense of any wider view of the game, it clouds people's, it must go to their heads in some way. They start to think there's something they're not. I call it Charlton syndrome. They were in the Premier League for a long while. They started to think that they were, European kind of wannabes. And then suddenly it can all tumble down and then they are back in League One. So anyone in the Premier League thinking that this is a good idea, I think you wait till you're in the same position. And, you know, apart from one or two clubs up there, it could happen to anybody. But there we are. A lot of comment online, Michael. Andy Burnham, who's Mayor of Manchester, I think, wants to use the Football Governance Bill, which is on the agenda soon. It's going to bring in, we hope, an independent regulator. But he says he wants to put into law that any domestic cup competition can only be changed from majority vote of all the clubs eligible to enter it. I don't know if that's going to come to pass. I don't know. I think there's a lot of hopes being pinned on this independent regulator that it may make a difference or not. I don't know. In the end, money talks. That's my cynical.
Well, that's the thing. You say that with the money. You say that with the money talks kind of thing, and it's like you're saying about the independent regulator, and I mean, Everton are being stung at the moment, aren't they? Forest are being stung at the moment with points deductions. You're looking at Man City, who's going to get done soon. I read somewhere, I believe I might be wrong, but what Everton and Forest are being done for this season, that's going to change somehow in the next couple of years to a different way of monitoring how money and finances are in the Premier League. So even then, even when you're breaking some rules, which I believe is the case, if I'm wrong, tweet me or you know, tweet Nick. Don't tweet me so I don't get it. But even when they bring in things, it's like the financial fair play in Europe, even when they bring in things to try and get these big teams to behave and not be so egotistical maniacs, that gets changed because the egotistical maniacs have got the power to take their ball and go if they want. So, it's all well and good doing lip service if you're a politician and you want some votes, but it's not going to happen in football, is it? And ultimately, I just think it made me laugh as well, where I don't know if you saw the tweet that was out recently as well, where I think this is the first year for some like 5-10 years where an English team isn't in the semi-final of the Champions League in Europa League.
That's right.
Yeah, someone said, oh, it's because Altrincham had a replay in the fourth round. That's what's done it. that's why they've been knocked out. And like I said, playing devil's advocate a little bit, I'm not going to beat around the bush. You know, I remember a few years back when Millwall got Hull in the FA Cup in January. I think it was under Neil Harris's previous tenure. I sat there and I was like, I don't know why I'm here. This is absolute garbage. And I hold my hands up. I didn't go to the Millwall Sheffield United one at the start of under Joe Edwards this year. But so there are, yes, there are people, like you say, who don't want to go. So it is a bit kind of, to me, a little bit like a, you know, don't moan about pubs shutting if you don't go in there and buy a pint. You know, you can't moan about the FA Cup game if you don't go to the games. But I think for me, in what they should have done is revamp the competition in some way. Like you say, don't have replays from a certain round onwards, you know, to make it a little bit more sort of cutthroat and a little bit more, you know, it's going to go 90 minutes or extra time. But to get rid of them all together is absolutely ridiculous. And like, if there was this main massive issue with fixture congestion, well, why not look at the Champions League? You know, like when they had the Super League debate, one of the debates was, we're not arguing the Champions League needs reform. Well, why have you now reformed it to a way that there's going to be more games? Apart from the financial side of it, there's now going to be more games in the Champions League next year. So that's going to make your players even more.
Which is what's driving this, Michael. That's part of the pressure.
That's ultimately what it is. And that's the point. Why, so what you're basically saying is, and I know I'm not stupid, and again, it's just the hypocrisy of it. It's like, we don't mind playing this amount of games as long as it's in a competition that suits us. That's what this ultimately is.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. I was just thinking back to that Sheffield United game. We had a brilliant 10 minutes. I think Joe Edwards there. Fluid football that I've never seen before. I think we got beat 3-1 there, didn't we? Oh, dear. Oliver Holt, writing for Mail Online, says the Premier League is poisoning our game and their hand in having FA Cup replays scrapped is another spoonful of arsenic down the throats of smaller clubs. Dramatically put by Oliver Holt. And Danny Kelly, follow on Twitter, makes a point for all of us, I think, Michael. This is some of our greatest memories of the FA Cup replays. He could have tolerated this, he says, if it had been for the good of the players, player safety or health or whatever. But let's be honest, replays have been ditched to accommodate a further Champions League round of FC Big Bollocks versus Dynamo Cannon Fodder, which is the truth of it, really. It's to absorb the European football. And I've got a hard message for all the listeners out there. The reason this is happening is you can talk about the instigators. It's down to you that subscribe to you and me that subscribe to Sky TV and TNT and all the other channels, because that the money that they generate is generated is what drives these decisions. So, you know, society is to blame. It's you and me in the end, isn't it?
Yeah, it's your fault. Your fault, John, who's listening to this in the cab. And Dave, the van driver, it's your fault.
It's like when people used to moan about the Sun, you know, saying, the newspaper, the Sun, this, that and the other. But people buy it and that's where they carry on. So, you know, unfortunately, that's a hard truth. There's a great post here from Sabutio online, Michael. I like this one. Sabutio announced they're going to replace their FA Cup final sets with a money-spinning friendly in Asia in June set. Newcastle versus Infantino 11 in the Scam Coin Friendly Cup. And someone did post, actually, that Tottenham have got an away tour to Thailand in a few weeks after the end of the season. So, you know, this is this whole fixture overload is bollocks. But we knew that all along.
Yeah, I appreciate the intensity of competitions and things like that. And like with the Premier League, how fast paced it is, 100% get that. I'm not denying that, and I'm not denying whatever we think of these footballers. They may get tired, you know, like, you know, because they are playing a fast paced game. You know, they go through levels of training that we don't. And let's be honest with you, there's a lot of people who do the whole, oh, they only train 4 hours a day and then they sleep for the rest of the day. But it's like, but could you, dear listener, keep up those levels of intensity? Because if you see, like, you see it in the summer when footballers walk off, they take their shirt off right over their shoulder. Even players who don't look it with their shirt on are absolutely chiseled. There ain't an inch ounce of fat on them. So, you know, they put themselves through regimes that you and I could only dream of putting ourselves through. So I get that. But it's a kind of thing. Well, why is the FA and the Premier League not going to the international schedule? All you ever hear is, as well, there's now more international games. There's more. There's too many friendlies. There's this UEFA Nations League. And you think, it's not even that we're bowing to the big teams at the top of the table, Nick, to a degree. We're bowing down to, in an indirect way, to the UEFA competitions. Did we need a third tier competition? No. Did we need it? Did we need a UEFA Nations League? No. Did we need more friendlies? Like every time, you know, there's an international break, there's like four friendlies. I am not on the side of these teams who have decided to do this, or the Premier League who have decided to do this. Do not take that. I'm playing a little bit devil's advocate. But what I am trying to say is there was a lot of things we could have done without trying to reform this competition. You know, like it might be a generation thing. Don't get me wrong. But I had my boys in the car the other day and we was talking about competitions and all this stuff. And I said, yes, it's gone down slightly, but, you know, growing up as a little boy, you know, for me, the FA Cup was the pinnacle. It was the absolute pinnacle of football.
Yeah,
it absolutely. Really, really was. And I remember as well, you know, when I was a lot younger, it was with like one of these Mill community scheme things. We went to the old Wembley for a day, and one of the things was we walked up the stairs and held up a replica of the FA Cup up those famous stairs and on the balcony.
Crescendo
we
didn't, moment, we, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and that was the moment, and that's what you paid for. We didn't stand in the middle of the Den with a replica of the FA of the Premier League. We didn't stand in the middle of Wembley with a replica of the Champions League trophy. We stood there with the FA Cup.
A replica of the FA Cup.
And yes, maybe, like I said, maybe these younger generations, they're a little bit more FIFA obsessed and Championship Manager obsessed and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, it's just sad. The whole thing's sad. It's another bit of your childhood and your memories gone, Nick. We're going to be the old forgotten ones.
Joni Mitchell said this. They pulled down Paradise and built a parking lot.
They did.
That's right.
They did. They ripped up the trees and put them in a tree museum.
Something like that. No official response yet from the EFL as we record this, listeners, and nothing so far from Millwall FC. My word on the street says that there's been long-running discussions about this proposal, but no definitive vote or decision.
Neil Harris put something out.
Yeah, I might play that at the end of the show, actually, just to, I might lift that off of BBC London. He put it quite nicely. I mean, and he's right. In the end, there's not an awful lot you can do. There's a lot of people talking about boycotts and, you know, clubs protesting by not taking part in the competition, stuff of that kind. I don't think any of that's going to come to anything, if I'm going to be really honest. And I don't say that to be cynical. I just don't think it's... I don't think it's going to catch fire in the way that people might imagine. Sad but true, dear listeners. We'll see what comes to pass. I just wanted to run a few other things past you, Michael, while I've got you. This week we saw the accounts. I mean, we've been talking about money. The Millwall accounts were published, and Kieran Maguire put some of the headline figures on Twitter. If anyone's, you know, out there is talking about signing up major players, I mean, the Millwall ownership put in £17 million to keep Millwall business alive in 22-23 after putting in £13 million in 21-22. And overall, hang on, let me get the figure here before I get it all wrong. It was 100 in total. I think the Berylson family are putting 130 plus million over time. So it's just, you know, this is the nature of the modern game. I sometimes think when people talk about signing players, I mean, even in the current squad, Tanganga and Obafemi even, these are very, very expensive players. And I'm not sure we've really got the financial base to start lashing out. So team that up with a few contract extensions this year. We've got George Saville, Ryan Leonard and Tom Bradshaw, which all of which have provoked a bit of comment online about, you know, we should be looking at other players. But you've got to keep the bottom line in mind. We just don't, despite the full den that we've been seeing recently, we just don't generate the money, nor do we get a slice of the cake on a level that would allow us to really go down a big time signing wise.
No, exactly. And you know, firstly, as fans, I think we need to thank again the Berylson family for what they do for
100%,
us.
100%.
When you see it as black and white, you know, like when John sadly passed, you know, like I ironically, I actually was on the Mill site earlier on just to see if there was a statement out, and I clicked the old JGB thing in the corner, just to basically see what it was. And you know, there's the line that he was fiercely loyal to his staff, he was very protective of Millwall fans, and you know, he loved the club, you know, and you can see it there. But I always remember there was things in programs that kind of say, if you want us to sort of spend money and you want us to invest and all that kind of thing, you know, we need to see the Dem fall on a regular basis. Now we are seeing it a lot more regular than we did, to be fair, and maybe soon, you know, this season and last season were the last 2 years where really any kind of regular attendances. So maybe, you never know, in a couple of years we might see a bit more fruit from those who are coming in and paying that money. But it just shows again the support they're doing, and like we say, how sensibly they run the club, because so many teams, as we repeatedly said at the time of John's passing and before, so many clubs went down the route of spending money that they didn't have, buying millions and millions, ended up in trouble, and are now down the bottom of the pyramid. I mean, Portsmouth just confirmed their promotion as champions over the last couple of days. I mean, they was already promoted, but as champions of League One. But goodness gracious, how long were they down in League One and League Two and nearly out
long
of business for?
Yeah.
And speaking of FA Cup, this was a team who recently won the FA Cup.
Yes, they did, 2013, I think, as did Wigan. I think, didn't they win it as well at one point? But both of them are lurking in the lower reaches. Money, I'm just looking at a post here. This is totally off subject slightly, but ticket price. This is at Nottingham Forest. We're talking about money and investment and signing players, listeners. A lot of protests at Nottingham Forest at the moment, the Premier League, so, you know, caveat in there. But I'm just looking at their revised season ticket prices for next season, top price there, which is probably not top whack compared with many clubs, but £850. People are saying that their tickets have gone up by a dramatic amount to try and compete in the Premier League. So £850, £650, this is a top tier, £650 senior. Youth and child prices, 190 and 285. Expensive business. And that's not the most expensive by a long way. I'm sure if you were to talk to Spurs or Arsenal season ticket holders, they're going to be more expensive than that still. So you'll be careful what you wish for sometimes, Michael, I think.
And you know what? You say it as well. I mean, I know you say it half tongue in cheek, and we have a little bit of a laugh about it. But again, A lot of the football fans at the top end of the table and you know, the Premier League, and to get up there, they all have their Groupon stands, and they're a lot bigger than Millwall's. So
sometimes it's a Groupon stadium. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, isn't it Fulham that has a whole neutral stand or a neutral area of a stand? So, you know, it's one of those things, you know. John Berylson's bailed us out, and the Berylson and Barrett family have bailed us out in no uncertain terms, and we'll always be eternally grateful for it. But, if you want to go up there and you want to, and if you, dear listener, want to be one of the 20 who boycott the FA Cup because you think there's too many games, we might need to have block one and two for Groupon. You never know.
As we're speaking, Michael, I've just clicked on the London News Online, South London Press articles. Steve Cavanagh has slammed the FA Cup replay decision Spineless, strong words. Mill Chief Executive Steve Cavanagh has described the FA's decision to scrap FA Cup replays as incredulous. Cavanagh, who is on the Professional Game Board and also Vice Chairman of the FA Challenge Cup Committee, has added that he had no advance warning of the move that was about to be taken by the governing body. Cavanagh says that there has been outrage and significant upset regarding the cancellation of FA Cup replays. It would appear that the FA were trying to point a finger of blame at the EFL last night, which is incredulous. The agreement is clearly between the FA and the English Premier League. It goes on. This has nothing to do with the EFL. The FA made it quite clear that the FA Cup is the FA Cup. It's their product and tournament to manage and officiate. If they wish to scrap replays, then that's their call. I've made it absolutely clear that I didn't agree with that decision. I told him that I didn't feel clubs would agree with that. The last 24 hours have proven I was right and that my knowledge of football clearly stretches to all lower reaches, including National League, where Southend, the club I used to be chief executive of, sit. FA Cup replays are vital, and so it goes on. So strong stuff there by Steve Cavanagh.
All you criticise him out of his own words, he knows football.
If only if Steve could organise a mop and bucket and some Asda level disinfectant to clean up the bird shit, I would love that man to death, listeners.
Do you know the reason he's got to go? Halfway through that statement, there's a capital W halfway through a sentence. That shows how incompetent he is at spelling and running the club. I'm only joking.
It's strongly worded. I mean, I'll give him, he's speaking to the South London. He's basically pointing the finger of blame at the FA fairly and squarely, saying this is their decision and they've been trying to muddy the waters by saying bringing in the EFL reps. It sounds very much like no consultation directly on this decision has taken place with the Football League reps, including Steve Cavanagh. So I'm pleased to see that. I was really hoping that we weren't involved in it and that we would speak out against it. I can't argue. It's a strongly worded statement, and that will get Mill fans on side, I think, behind this.
Yeah,
and not there's much anyone can do, but yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is as well, like you say, I know, like you just said there, all he can do is put a statement out, which is true, because, you know, let's be brutally honest, as you know, whether you like Steve Cavanagh or not as a person, I don't think Guardiola's going to go, right, can we reverse this decision a little bit because the Mill CEO's copped the ump a little bit. But at least he's kind of, you know, putting his head above the parapet, and a board that he is on who seems to have made a decision, he's basically saying, no, I'm not part of this decision, and publicly doing so. So for his critics, Steve Cavanagh, and he's got plenty of them, and he's got people who support
him as
well.
He does have a few. My only gripe is that, you know, the mop and bucket gripe. That's all. That is a big deal. But anyway,
Steve, if you sort out the mop and bucket, Nick will be dancing with those fair weather fans from abroad every week, drinking chocolate.
I bet the big six clubs have mops and buckets aplenty. They've got no shortage of mops and buckets.
Do you know what? Going back to it there, you know, it's as he says there, I'm the vice chair of the FA Cup committee. I didn't even get a notification on that committee. No conversation took place on that committee regarding this. It just shows, if that is true, and luckily that's on another website, so we can't be done for slander. But if that is true, that shows just what an utter farce the whole thing has been. You've got a committee of the FA Cup, and basically this vice chair is the second in command, ultimately, or the vice figurehead. And if they didn't even know that was happening, that is absolutely ridiculous.
I like this.
It makes the whole thing even more stupid.
Oh, absolutely. None of this is going to come to pass, listeners. But this is the someone called themselves the real EFL, not the real IRA. This is the real EFL. So if the FA wants to protect the FA Cup and make it more attractive, then they should reinstate replays up to the final. They're not going to do that. unfortunately. Semi-finals at a neutral ground, I'm going to do that. Finals at Wembley. Stop showing all Premier ties on TV. We ain't going to do that. Mandatory rules for teams to prevent weakened lineup. This is like wanting utopia. That's, none of that's going to come to pass. But I sometimes think protest off the names for that kind of, you know, wispy kind of perfection. But there we are. Michael, your lunch hour must be... You haven't had your sandwich yet, mate, have you?
I have not. I have not had my falafel and flatbread. So
get yourself some falafel, otherwise you'll fade away. There'll be nothing of you left.
Absolutely. Also,
big thank you, Michael Avery, stepping into the breach at very short notice.
One final thing we haven't blamed, and that's Neil Harris.
I was going to play out with Neil speaking out. I thought we captured it quite well.
It's all his fault.
I mean, you know, we've got one more game this weekend. I think if we can get a point tomorrow, at least avoid defeat at Sunderland, which is not easily done, but we've done it before. Surviving in the Championship, as we've seen with all the numbers and financial talk we've had, it's going to be some achievement for him. If we haven't done it yet, so I won't tempt fate, but that's going to be some achievement, Michael, if that comes to pass.
Yeah, to be fair to him, I think you don't want to tempt fate, like you said. I think if you look at the teams between us and the drop, we need an awful, awful, awful lot to go wrong and an awful, awful, awful lot to go right with a lot of teams for us to get dragged really, really, really into it. But again, mathematically, we're still not 100% safe. But to be in this position for what... he was brought in to keep us up. That's not beat around the bush. And whether it's a style of football, which personally has not been the best to watch, he got results and he's kept us up and it's kept us closer to that 20 that don't want anything to do with the FA Cup. So for that, I'll always be grateful.
Job done. Nice one, Michael. Appreciate your time, mate. Thank you for joining us. Last shout out for
Erith Town, who go into tomorrow's game needing just 3 points to secure the playoffs.
Well, another team on the up the Dockers. Big thank you, Michael Avery.
No problem, mate.
I don't blame the FA at all for this. It's the football calendar. It is absolutely ridiculous. The take on players, the international football calendar is a joke. The Champions, the European football is a joke. It's all about money. You know, and all that's doing is affecting teams down the pyramid system. You know, the Premier League and now look like they don't want to share that wealth that they get paid, and they don't want to do the deal with the EFL. That's a shambles in itself, but that's not for me to discuss now. But as you can tell, I feel quite strongly about it. And now the FA Cup, you know, the pyramid system, you know, we're going to lose replays and the chance for teams to go away from home, fight tooth and nail to scrape a 0-0 draw back to the walls and then take them back to their place in a sold-out stadium against the Premier League, Championship or League One or League Two team if they're a non-league side. We'll get used to it. It'll happen. You know, I'm not going to change it of my words. You know, 70 other managers talking about it's not going to change it. The football authorities make their rules. IFAB make the rules on the refereeing rules that no one understands either. Everyone keeps adapting the game so quickly. Why change it so quickly? Look, we have to get on with it, don't we? There's my rant done.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.